This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Jesus, thank you for your revelation, your unveiling, your manifestation, your unveiling to us. Tonight we come, we sit at your feet again, Jesus. Jesus, we sit at your feet again, that you might take away everything that hinder you. Your glory that shines. I will cast out everything that hinder your holy glory, Jesus. And you will take away every root that blind the glory that exalteth and that surpasseth. That you will wrought and do, Jesus. That you will do, Jesus. That you will do, Jesus. We come tonight to receive mercy, to receive grace. Help us, Father. Help us, Jesus. Give us glory, Jesus. Give us all honor, Son of God. Help us, Jesus. We align under you, Jesus. Align under you, Jesus. That you show mercy, Lord. You will show mercy, Son of God. You will show mercy, Lord. Show mercy, Lord. Show mercy. Give grace, Jesus. Give grace, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let your angel minister with me. And let your angel minister through me. Let your angel make me an oracle of God. That I may speak as you, Jesus, you are speaking. Beat me, beat my mind, beat my heart, beat my meditation. Let him sink with you, Jesus. Show mercy, Son of God. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Son of God. Amen. A big amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus was thanking the Father in Luke 10. Because what we have come into is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in that word, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for thou have hid this thing from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seems so good in thy sight, for no man knoweth all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is. I've been teaching since last week, acknowledging the Father and the Son. For no man knoweth who the Father is, who the Son is. One thing that God has helped us in this year, we are beginning to know the Son. We started this year with the keys, the Son. And we also know who the Father is, little by little. Along the year, God began to talk about the Father who is in the secret, and seeing the secret. God has been showing us things. But next year will be an explosion. The ministry of the Son and the fellowship of the Father and the Son will be explosive. Amen. One of the reasons why the ministry of the Son is important is so that you can come to the fellowship of the Father and the Son. Because except the Son minister, which is the Son revealed, because he said that, for no man know who the Son is, except for the Father. The Father is one who knows who the Son is. It's the Father that knows who the Son is. Nobody knows who the Son is, but the Father. Who the Son is. It's the Father that knows it. And that's why it will take the revelation of Jesus Christ, who God the Father gave. Because it is the Father who knows the Son that can give the revelation of the Son. No man knows who the Son is, but the Father. And who the Father is, but the Son. So when you don't acknowledge the Father will not show you who the Son is. And when you don't acknowledge the Son will not show you who the Father is. So that's why acknowledging the Son is what gives you right away to know who the Father is. And acknowledging the Father is what shows you to show who the Son is. So who the Son is by acknowledging the Father. And who the Father is by acknowledging the Son. Because it's a secret that both of them, they are keeping each other. And to whom who the Son is and who the Father is, the Father has given it to the Son. For nothing are delivered to me of my Father. So the Father knows who the Son is. The Son knows who the Father is. The Father now deliver all things of himself. And the Son, who the Father is, and the Son. To the Son and to whom the Son will reveal him. So though it's only the Father that knows who the Son is. And it's the Son alone who knows the Father is. But something that the Father did. What he said in previous verses. He said, you can rejoice in the Spirit. I want to give you a just in the Spirit is that what the prudent and the wise do not know, the Father, it seems good to the Father to deliver it to the Son, to reveal that what it seems, Father, for it seems good in thy sight. It's not to, for the Son to reveal who the Father and the Son is. Then Joker said, verse 23, and he turned unto his disciples. And said privately, blessed are the eyes who see the things that you see. What are the things? The things of the Father. The things of the Son and the things of the Father. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. At that time, Jesus Christ answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because I have eaten this thing from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed unto babes. These babes are not babe in Christ, of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the people that they can reveal who the Father is and who the Son is are newborn babes. So are the newborn babe, 1 Peter 2. So these are the newborn babe that they start by revealing who the Son is. Because you can say, my Father is greater than I. So the revelation of the Father is greater than the revelation of the Son. It's an eve of revelation. So you can see that it is giving revealed to babes. And these babes are men that were processed by the appearing of the everlasting King. In the sanctuary, these babes were those who have been sanctified in obeying the truth of Christ unto unfeigned love of the brethren. They are the one that the everlasting King, the messenger of the covenant, the King that have been set on his holy hill of Zion, and the Lord, who is also my Son, we take and refine them and purify them as silver and gold. He will purify the sons. These sons are sons of Levi. Sons of Levi are Christ's souls, godly souls, that the King on holy hill of Zion, my Son on the holy hill of Zion, who is also an everlasting King, my King, who he has set on holy hill of Zion, the one on the holy hill of Zion, which is my King. But Jeremiah called him an everlasting King. Also, Psalm 24 called it's also everlasting King, that everlasting door can open, who is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, who is King of glory. which also John 12 called it the Lord of glory. He called it in Psalm 24, the King of glory. John 12 called it the Lord of glory. When he said, when Isaiah saw the Lord of glory, that Lord is a king. He's an everlasting king. He's the one that God has placed on the holy hill of Zion to take every soul that have obeyed the truths of Christ. The truth that is in Christ that have been taught, have learned, and has obeyed that form of doctrine of Christ, which is the doctrine of righteousness of faith that worketh by love. When you purify your soul and purify your soul, you become a son of Levi. And so every son of Levi will be received by everlasting king. Will be received by my king on the holy hill of Zion. He will receive them. And when he receives them, he will go them, because the person that is receiving them, he like John said, he said, he that is coming after me is mightier than what? Me. For he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. So the first thing he will use to baptize you is Holy Ghost. And it's the work of Holy Ghost to take care of you from without the camp into the sanctuary. The Holy Ghost as the Spirit of Truth. Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, he will convict the world of sin. Is the Holy Ghost that will convict the world of righteousness, of faith, that worketh by love. And it's the same Holy Ghost that will convict you, which is Spirit of Truth, of judgment, of righteousness, and judgment of love. That judgment of love there is the Spirit of Truth. That, it will that judgment is love. So it will convict the world of sin. It will convict the world of righteousness of faith and of judgment of love. That's what the Spirit of Truth does. That judgment here is charity, abandoned charity, unfeigned love. It's a judgment which Philippians was talking about. Look at this. This I pray. Everybody say that, church.
This I pray.
That's your love. Eh? May abound. Say, may abound.
May
abound. Yeah, more and more. Where? In knowledge and in all judgment. That you may approve. You may approve things that are excellent. What are things that are excellent? Things that are charitable. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But confess earnestly the best gift. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Then 13:1. If I speak with the tongue, so what is the most excellent way? That your love may abound, yeah, more and more, more excellent way. 9 of Philippians 1. That your love may abound, yeah, more and more. Or that your love may more excellently, yeah, more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere without offense. Till the day of Christ. Like, what's the day of Christ? Till when Spirit of Truth should undo you until you have more excellent love, or where you have found the more excellent way, which will be the appearance of Christ. Christ there means the Son of God will appear. Or the Son of God until the day of Christ. When the day of Christ, the day of the Son of God, will come and receive you. The everlasting King. My King on my holy hill of Zion. The Lord of hosts, the message of the covenant, my son will receive you. But before my son will receive you, the person that will train you, it will be the promise of the Father that he will send in my name. So the Father sent the Holy Ghost, who became the Spirit of Truth, in the authority of the name of the Son. Holy Ghost will not reveal himself. He will take of me. So Holy Ghost carry the authority of Christ. Holy Ghost wear Christ. To do what Christ wants to do. To reveal who Christ is. To teach you the faith of Christ, which is righteousness. To teach you the hope of Christ, which is righteousness. And to teach you the love. To teach you what? To teach you the love, unfeigned love of Christ, which is what? Righteousness. So, faith, hope, an unfeigned love of Christ, our righteousness. So that's 1 Corinthians 12:31 said that you should abound, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet, I mean, as we are coveting the best gifts. Because in that 12, he talk about the gift of Christ. Then he talk about the gift or the manifestation of the Spirit. Then he move into the operations of God. So he said you should covet the best gifts. Yet, don't just stay with only the gifts. One of the best gifts, they said the best gift in 1 Corinthians 13 is prophecy. Prophecy is one of the best gifts. Yes. Follow after charity. These are spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So prophecy is one of the best gifts. So you can see, he said, yet I show you that don't just stay with gift alone. I show unto you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is what? Is charity. So a more excellent way means when you more excellent, you gain judgment. You are going to attain to judgment. So the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, the baptizing with the Holy Ghost, supposed to make you to come, Holy Ghost, this is not true, supposed to make you to arrive at the more excellent way. Christ is a way. So Holy Ghost is supposed to lead you, walk upon you until you can accept the more excellent way. Who is the person of the Son? The Son in John 14, 6, say, I am the way. So the Son is the most excellent way. But you have to do charity to abound, to arrive at the more excellent way. Who is the person of the Son that is waiting for you to receive you upon the throne that is high and lifted up at the way into most holy in the sanctuary. So the God has put his Son. God the Father has put my King, his King, his everlasting King. God has put Jesus there to receive you when Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, will deliver you into what? Into his hand. So when he take you, he will start the second. Or you are battling with Holy Ghost, he will start battling with fire. So what the Son has to baptize you with is with fire. So he starts baptizing with the Holy Ghost, which will bring you to arrive at the excellent way, who is the Son. And that excellent way means the Son is a being of love. He's the Son of the Father in love. The Father is in love with him and is in love with the Father. Another thing I mean is that he's a Son of the Father with divine nature. Because love is divine nature. He's the Son of the Father in love, or the Son of the Father in divine nature. So the person, the King on the holy hill of Zion, my Son, the holy hill of Zion, and the Lord on the holy hill of Zion, or what you call, is anointed. That is anointed, yeah. It's not anointed as Christ, but is the Messiah anointed with everlasting oil. Separation. Son that is separated in everlasting. He come to receive those that the Spirit of Truth are convicted of the word of sin. Are convicted them of righteousness, standard of what is right. They know righteousness. They know what is right until they attain judgments of the truth. That means in their conclusion, what is judgment? Approve things. They approve things that when that's why I saw myself that way. When a man is attained the state of charity, charity will make you to attain judgment. Because I can give my body to be burnt and never have love. So that all your sacrifices and your offering, all in doing the will of God, you will do the will of God. Because when the Spirit of Truth is training you in the will of God, to walk in the will of God, you can still stumble. But because you are doing some will of God that is not driven by love, because you are still on the journey to becoming a person that can be accepted, to be acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord there is my king that want to receive you. And there's nothing that can please the Lord. The end of your journey. My son that you are putting on the Holy Lord of Zion that want to receive you, which Hebrews chapter 2 was saying that I and the children which God has given me, they gave him children. These children are sons. So, but they are children that he will baptize them with fire. So another name for my king there that come to Hill of Zion, he also called it the living God. That's how Hebrew 10 call it. The living God. Because he was comparing Zion with Sinai. And we know the old Sinai mountain was burning with fire. So he that descended on Zion was burning fire. So the sun on the holy hill of Zion is a consuming fire, Hebrew 10. So he's the one that will receive you from the spirit of truth, from the Holy Ghost. When the Father gives it to you, if it is for you to go to the baptism of fire so that you can become the newborn. What produce newborn? They are born out of fire. They produce them through fire. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. They call them, said those who are kept by the power of God. What's the power of God? Christ. Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. So they are kept. They have kept them. They kept them to hand them over them to the Son. So look at when they transferred them to the Son. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God or who are kept by Christ? Through faith or through the righteousness of faith that worketh by love unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Say salvation ready to be revealed. What's the revelation of this reveal? I said they can only for this thing, for you are kept from the prudent and the wise and reveal them to what? To babes. I said the babes are what? Newborn babe. So, salvation ready to be revealed is the revelation of the, or who the Son is. Say, salvation ready to be revealed is who the Son is and who the Father is. Both the Father and the Son are salvation. So, you can see. So, Christ will keep you through the power of faith or through the righteousness of the faith or through Christ. Faith on ready to be revealed in the last day. So to reveal. And they are going to, that means when Christ keeps you to hand over to the Son, so the Son can reveal who he is to you, and the Son can reveal who the Father is to you. But before the Son who receives you will reveal himself to you and the Father to you, he will cause you to go through a program, through a baptism of fire. It will cause you to go to baptism of fire. And that baptism of fire is what is necessary for you to gain entrance. Because you need that fire to reduce you to be compatible to the veil of most holy. So that fire will convert you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed this last day. And because of that salvation, what's that salvation? Revelation of the Son and the Father. Where you greatly rejoice because of that revelation of the Son that you want. And because of who the Father is that's about to believe you, you start rejoicing. You are rejoicing in hope. Romans chapter 5. You are rejoicing in hope. Hope of salvation to be revealed. Hope of who the Son is to be revealed to you. Hope of who the Father is to be revealed to you. But you will not have access to able to gain that revelation except the Son, who is my King, who is anointed, who is the Lord on the Holy E, the King on the Holy E, except you take to the program of fire. And what he's trying to do with fire is your faith. It's your faith that they want to try. That faith that you have used. They want to try that faith to make that faith become precious. Because it is only precious faith. Precious faith is precious soul. Souls that are made precious by fire. You can have a soul that has been purified, but it's not yet precious. So to turn a soul that has been purified and make it precious, you must refine it again. And you must take it to a program of purify him again and refine him with the fire that the Son has. The fire the Son of the Living God has. The fire that Everlasting King has. The fire that what is anointed has. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season. Not for a season. Before they will reveal the salvation. But when you are rejoicing, say, oh boy, you need to rejoice for that hope. God, they cannot start battle with fire if there's no rejoicing in you. So they must let there be anticipation, expectation. So they need to induce that expectations. They must induce it in you. The Lord must come to induce you so that you can start rejoicing in hope. Romans 5. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace. This grace is Hebrew. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Who is on that throne of grace? The Son of God, my King on my holy hill. My King on my holy hill. The everlasting King is anointed that should give you grace to access. Because you won't receive grace. You won't find grace of salvation to be revealed to you if you have not come to the throne of grace, who the Son is. On the throne of grace, you will receive baptism of fire. Or if you receive the ministry of the Son, who is a refiner and purifier, but who may abide the day of his coming. And who shall stand when he appeared? So he will appear. The King, the everlasting King, will appear on the holy hill of Zion. He will appear. Normally, he does not appear, but he will appear. He will appear. And when he appears, he is to receive all those souls that have gathered there. All those souls that have arrived in Zion. They move from strength to strength. Everyone that appear before God. So he appear, you appear. Your appearance will command their he appearing. So he will appear to them that they journey and arrive at that hill of Zion. You know, there is mountain of Zion. In mountain of Zion is where the city of God is. Zion is in Jerusalem. Say, you know that?
Yes, sir.
Jerusalem is in Judea. And Judea is in Israel. So you remember Joker was saying that? Yeah, I shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea. Can you see? Say Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Where? Judea and Samaria. So Jerusalem is in Judea, is in Judah, which is the northern kingdom. Samaria is in the southern kingdom. So Jerusalem is in Judea. Zion, the mountain of Zion, is in Jerusalem. And the city of God, or city of the great king, is on Mount Zion. You can be on Mount Zion, but you are not in the city of the great king. And you can be in Jerusalem, and you are not in Zion. Jerusalem means the city of peace. By faith, we have peace with God. You become a Jerusalem when you have peace with God. But that does not mean that you have accessed Zion. Then you can arrive in Zion, because Zion is a massive mountain. Zion is where the princes, I talk about it, where the princes from every tribe, they live there. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace. We have access to the Son of God. We have access to the living Son of God that is in Zion, so that we can go and obtain mercy to find grace of salvation. Or to find revelation of who the Son is and who the Father is. Whom we have answered by faith unto this day, where we stand. And rejoice. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Where? Rejoice in hope. Eh? of the glory of God. I mean, they are standing in that grace. The hope of the glory, so it's hope. They in grace, they assess hope of the glory. Glory of God is in the most holy. You find that same thing being written in the book of Romans. He called it for this present suffering, not compared to be revealed with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In Romans 8, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, amen. The glory is most holy. The glory is the things of the Son and the things of the Father. So the glory is the thing that the Lord conceal. It's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter. When you bring to sack them out, it's the honor of the king to sack them out. So that's why you take everlasting king to shatter what the things of the Son is and what things of your Father is. The Son, honor the king to sack them out. So things of glory are things of the Son and things of the Father, which are most holy things. So you will receive an appointment with the most holy being that came out of most holy to come and walk on you or to come and walk upon your soul. When your soul are true faith, you have access. But what is the faith? This faith is not that same faith. It's not a faith. But this one now, your faith will become precious faith. But how can you have precious faith? You can't have precious faith until your faith is tried with fire. Or until your faith got through baptism of fire, that the Son, the King, is anointed, the message of the covenant, will take your faith through. Because so you need that faith to be able to assess a grace that will cause you to obtain mercy, to find grace of salvation, or grace of salvation and eternal glory. That's how Thessalonians put it. Therefore, I endure all things for elect's sake, that I may obtain the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So you can see that salvation and glory are most holy entity. And those are the entity of the Son and the Father. The entity of the Son, the Father, and God. But the Son, who is the Son of the living God, who is my king, who is his anointed, will come out of most holy with his throne and sit as a refiner and a purifier. As a refiner. He will come as a... He's comparing the what his ministry will be. It's not like he will come as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Because Christ is silver. So he knows what to do to silver and cause silver to start looking like gold. Because he in himself is divine. So when he undoes silver, silver will start having some appearance. He will purify as silver, be a refiner, as a refiner, and purifier of silver. And he shall purify sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. So when he purges them, they will reduce and be born. They become a newborn. Say a newborn. So without the fire of the baptism of the Son of God, you can't be newborn. So let's see that fire in 1 Peter 1:5. The people that they will turn their faith into precious faith are those who have attained the power of God. Or those who have attained righteousness of faith that worketh by what? By unfeigned love. Which is the commandment. 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 4 and 5. Neither give ye to fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions, rather what godly building, which is in the faith, so do. Then verse 5. Now, the end of the commandments is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith, unfeigned. So your faith can be unfeigned. Faith of faith means sincere faith. But it's not precious yet. So they will take every soul that have unfeigned faith, and it's not rejoicing in salvation or is rejoicing in the appearance of the Son of God. But it's of announcing. Announcing that you're supposed to keep an appointment. You have a feast you must keep with the Son of God, the everlasting King, the imagination of the covenant. He's anointed. When you come, you are rejoicing. Hope of the glory, hope of salvation. You are in hope. You are in hope. Those who have hope of his appearance, the hope of him coming, hope of his coming to the sanctuary. When he comes with his throne as a messenger of the covenant, he said, the Lord who you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. So what is that his temple? Ephesians chapter 2. His temple. His temple is called Holy Temple in the Lord. His temple. And are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building are fitly framed together, growing up. It was into an holy temple in the Lord. So is the Lord, this holy temple they are building is the Lord's temple. Then the Lord himself will not come to that temple. But the Lord does not come to that temple, but we see that temple is being built. Who built that temple? The Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, built that temple for him. He collected things from him and used to build that temple. Then he will not appear in that temple. He will come into that temple that Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, have been built for him. He will appear into that temple. It's the only temple in the Lord. Because from that only temple in the Lord, he will not take over the process of building. He will take over that from holy temple. He will build the holy temple to become a business of God. He will upgrade the temple. Just like he did after resurrection, he went into tabernacle in heaven. He purged all the heavens. He upgraded them. So he can come down to use them to minister. He purged them. He upgraded them. So he will come into the holy temple. The holy temple is your souls. The souls of every man that has obeyed righteousness of faith unto charity. And their souls have been built up together. Their souls have been put together. He said, grow up together. In one person does not make up holy temple. One made up of holy temple are so being built up together. Because you are a stone. Which Peter was saying, you form holy temple in the Lord. But that holy temple in the Lord, who built it? It was the Holy Ghost that built it. Holy Ghost built it for the Lord. For the Lord. Then when you have been built as holy temple, the Lord whom you have been seeking, because when you are obeying righteousness of faith, you are doing charity commandment, Holy Ghost instructing you by truth, that is the truth that is in Jesus. The truth in your Christ is what they used to build that temple. When you're obeying it, the Lord is watching you. He's watching you. And what they're building you, that thing, you call it commandments. I read it for us in 1 Timothy. The other commandment is charity. Yes, out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and faith on faith. You are doing that commandment. You also find the same thing in John chapter 14. Yet a little while, the world see me no more. If you then ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandment. That's my commandment. And I will pray the Father. He shall give you what? Another comforter. That you all, he may abide with you forever. What is another comforter? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he see him now. Neither knoweth him. Just the way nobody knoweth the Son. Likewise, no one knoweth the Father. Likewise, no one also know the Spirit of truth, the comforter. But you will know him. Because even the Spirit of whom the world cannot receive, because he sees me not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. Why do you know him? What? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I first of all give Holy Ghost to be with you, the comforter. He will do his work to build up an holy temple for me. Then when the temple is ready, I will not come. But I can't come until there's an holy temple in the Lord, instead of, I can't come. But when he's building, if you are being built, the more you are becoming part of the holy temple, something will start in you. What will start in you? You will start desiring. You will start what? Seeking the Lord. Mr. Taylor will say something. Lord, we want you to come. You will be, because if you are being built, you will desire him to come. come to your temple now, Lord. The Spirit of truth, Holy Ghost, have been working on me. You have been teaching me. You have been convicting me of sin. He has convicted me of righteousness, which is faith. He has convicted me of judgment, which is what? His charity. And I've done it. And your temple is being built. And I've been built together with other brethren. So together, you'll be crying, Son, come. There'll be a desire in your heart. If there's no desire for the Son of God in your heart, if there's no looking for the Son to come, if not desire for the message of the kingdom to come, then it shows that you have not done things well. Nobody that has been built up together with other saints that will not desire the Lord to come. So, and so he was on this account. Yet, a little while, the word said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So you can see that the first comfort is Holy Ghost living in your spirit to build up your soul. So Holy Ghost is living your spirit to build up your soul with other souls that are added to the church into an holy temple in the Lord that can receive the Lord. So there will not be the coming of the Lord until you are being built together with other saints. That's why the height of your building as an holy temple is that you love one another with unfeigned love. Because if they put you in another soul, if you don't have charity, you will unhook yourself. That anybody that cannot love the brethren will not be able to stay in an holy temple. One man does not make an holy temple. It's different soul that they use as holy temple. So any soul that does not like brotherhood, any soul that does not like to live with brethren, any soul that likes solitary, any soul that's not loving the brethren, does not like to flock with the brethren, holy temple are constituted by being flock. Say flock. Because every flock are like interlocked stone that you lock together. So constitute what? An holy temple in the Lord. In Matthew 24. And Jacob went out and departed from the temple and showed his disciple. And his disciple came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. So I will say that the temple are buildings. What made up the temple of God are buildings. So the fourth building, that building is an holy temple in the Lord. Then the Lord will come to come and walk on every sheep that are member of that flock or that are locked together, that you are locked together. When you have been built as holy temple, you are locked together, does not yet satisfy the Lord. The Lord says, thank you, Holy Spirit, for locking them together to be an holy temple. But I need to come and furnish my house. The furnishing of the house by the Lord, by the everlasting King, the Lord whom you are seeking, you are desired to come, is furnishing, is furnished with fire. Because he's a refiner. He's like a refiner and a purifier of silver. So when he comes into that temple, he comes to furnish it. Ah, Holy Ghost, you have tried, but I can still see something. I can see something. No. I can see something. Husband, love your wife. Ephesians 5. Husband, love your wife. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5. Which is giving me 24. Therefore, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself. What do we do? That he might sanctify and cleanse it. So we start with the washing of water by the wall, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any of such thing. So he will come into that temple as with fire to do a further work of furnishing. So ministration of fire is what is the content of fire? What is that content of the fire that the everlasting King is anointed? You can see that fire that is going to purify, he called it in 1 Peter chapter 1, he called it fervent love. So you are purify your soul in obeying truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Say, now see that you love one another. No love another. Unfeigned love. Now, see that you love one another fervently, with a pure heart. So, the teaching of Fervent love is the teaching of fire. Of fire that the Son of God will bring. He will teach you how to love one another fervently. It's in loving one another fervently that we are born. Or we are converted as a newborn babe. That they can reveal who the Son is and who the Father is too. If you are not loving the brethren fervently, you will not be converted into newborn babe. So say, every newborn babe,
every newborn babe,
every newborn babe,
every newborn babe,
a produce of fervent love of the brethren with a pure heart. 1 Peter 5 to 7. Wherever you better rejoice, though for now, if you be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. So what you call temptation there are trials or tribulations. Manifold. So you're saying to manifold. Say manifold. What manifold? Different side. So you are going to bring different brethren to you. That temptation are your brethren. The brethren have manifold, different kinds. Different kind. Different brethren with different problems. Different brethren with different issues. You also must go through that same thing. Manifold temptations. Manifold temptation. Peter came into this thing. Paul also came into this thing. When he was talking out of Apostle 2, chapter 22. For you know I have gone through manifold temptation. Which I have suffered. And he thought that from the is what he has suffered from different brethren. Acts 22. Oh, Jesus. So in the season of manifold temptation, that temptation is not, is temptation not brethren. Just like I went through this school too. Okay, from verse 17. So this is when Paul so came into this manifold temptation, what Peter is describing. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears, say many tears, and many temptations, who befell me by lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. This is an apostle. He has right to keep something back. This is him working like Paul, far-fetched charity towards the brethren. He kept nothing that is profitable. If you are working in charity, far-fetched charity, you never keep anything that is profitable from your brother. Anything that is profitable. And part of what is profitable might be instruction. Instruction the Lord gave to you towards your brother is profitable because the word of God is profitable to doctrine, to reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So things that are profitable to your brother. Part of what is profitable to your brother is that when you endure your brother, you don't discourage him. It's profitable to him. He will become profitable. Because he will see the commandment you have kept. That later, when he grow up, he will see God. What's what he does to you? Another brother and younger brother too will come and do to him too. What you endure when you are tolerating a brother or a sister that lacks judgment. He's leaving your house and he's collecting salary. He immediately finished contributing money that you say contribute for food. He does not know that you pay at NEPA B. He does not know that you pump water. He does not know that he as long as I have drawn money for food and stuff, it's okay. But all that thing, he does not know that there are other things you do. You pay security. If there are security on your street, you pay. If the other thing, he just finished food, what's the concern is about food. And it can be like that and live with you for 7 years, 5 years, and eventually leaves. He now enter his own house and now starts seeing all the bead that was not aware of before. He will now say, and brother now started come and live with him too. Say, whenever, just like the way I remember something, I say, I'm ashamed of myself. I want to come and say, I remember some things that I did. Come see, you're a foolish boy. Sometimes I give myself knock in the secret. I give myself knock. You must be so dull. I was angry. I'm angry with myself. He too will come into that junction. And you now realize that wow, more fumble. Because it's a season that newborn must be produced. And newborn, what happened? That means that I may have to spend more money. Like that, you have to spend more money. I feel that he may not have. But because of what he's doing, it was necessary, he had to spend more money. That thing, that more money that was not available that he spent, that is fire. It's pressure on him. It's tribulation. It's pressure. Tribulation never means pressure. It's pressure. Mounting pressure of love. Like Paul was saying, I've kept by not that is profitable unto you. When you are in fervent charity, you must not keep anything that is profitable for your brother, for your sister. You are driving, you are entering that car. You must know that not until when you buy your own before you now realize it. You must know that the service car. You must know that car develop faults. It's here for you to carry your wife and your child alone inside a car. Your shock will last longer. That shock will spend 4 years. But when they carry you of 75 kg, and you put 3 at the back, and you put another 80 kg in the front, and that you guys, that shock that's going to spend 2 years will reduce to 6 months or 9 months. And he's doing that he does that for every Wednesday. He does that for every Sunday. He does that for social program. He does that for prayer meeting. And you're just entering and going. And you're only collecting, or you say, because I don't have salary, I only have 80,000. But if you're wise, out of 80,000, it's not a bar to put, take 10,000, 5,000. This 5,000 is for the fuel. Add this sir to the fuel. Add this man to the fuel. Though, that means that you may not be able to have to make some phone call. You may not, because that 5,000, maybe it's your money you don't use to pay the charge card. But as you do that, that is fervent charity. You're under pressure. There are flesh we suffer. There are things that we cleanse. Because in that process, there's something that will go wrong. But as you that, you're enjoying that thing, son, they are purifying you, refiner and purifier or of silver. It will seek to purify you as silver and gold. So, 1 Peter 1:6. When you get to rejoice, though now for a season, even if be, you are in heaviness. So, when you are in the season, when you meet the sun, you'll be in heaviness. So you can see that. So, that pressure, you will be purified. So he said, you are in heaviness. So when you are going through this process, you must be in heaviness. Because you are carrying weight. When you carry the weight of the brethren, you are in heaviness. Say, heaviness. Weight of brethren. Sometimes it's the weight of their offenses. Heaviness can be what they keep doing wrong. Like every time, every time in the fridge, somebody is taking something away. Who threw this thing away? Everybody, there is a water jug in the fridge. Heaviness. They come heaviness. But heaviness is heaviness. In that kind of heaviness, if you are not careful, your love becomes wax cold. But you also want to wax cold. Like what happened to Ephesian church? He said, I never find your, say you're not that hot or cold. You are lukewarm. Something, love. And so they said, return back to your first work. And return back to your first love. It was love. Their love was injured by their brothers. So, heaviness, when brother can injure your love, then your love become cold. You become lukewarm. When people have problems, you can't move. Those are manifold temptations that purify the heart. Where the heart is no longer looking on its own things alone. The heart is obeying a commandment. You look at the things of the others. So, your brother is celebrating. Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Those are commandments you find in the day is what the Son of God is coming to the holy temple. And those commandments are fervent charity. They are charity that is putting pressure on you with manifold temptation. Sometimes you can present and you don't see. There are rents that you have to sponsor. You have to support rents. Because your brother, he can't go and live in, well, he can't go and live in Sangota and be coming every day to Lekki to where his office is. And that month they are paying, he can't afford it. But he does not mind moving into maybe Agege, that area. That rent, the money is here and he cannot fully. The only thing he can produce there is just because we all know what crisis is. Yeah. But, and you know about it. God begin to step it right. That will definitely eat up. That means that some of your fashion you want to wear, you may be able to have some of the fashion. Some of the extra you want to be able to have it. But those things must be, you must be subjected into that. Those are the things that Peter called them in what? In 6. 1 Peter 6. 1 Peter 6, 7. When you get into the joy, don't know for it's evening be, you are in heaviness. Two manifold different things. What you are going through in this day, I know we are going through different manifold. And something can happen to your heart. Your heart can grumble. Like what happened to the Israel in the wilderness. And I would say, their carcass is fair. It's a trial. What they want to purify your soul. That your trust should not be on mammon. Yeah. But your trust should be in the living God. You have an appointment with the living God. The everlasting King. My King and only Zion. And your faith, your trust cannot be in living God when you have not fully detached from the mammon. Because there's something that don't want you to trust in living God. So they will bring manifold temptation to you. It will bring as if little one that's happening is going away. It's going away. And that is necessary that you don't see. The problem is not that you should not save. The problem is that they will allow you to go through that. It's a season. It's a door for a season. God, that kind of pressure will come. He said, though for a season, the thing may not be for another 1 year, maybe another 6 months, it may be another 2 years, but can I take advantage of that manifold temptation? Though in that season, if I allow that thing to pass by, I don't go to that manifold trial, I've lost my being born, my being converting me into a newborn that can receive the revelation of who the Son is and who the Father is. I must be wise. I must be wise. People doing different meetings. And the Lord will tell you, take some money and send for them for their conference. Sometimes you send as a church. Sometimes you also send as individual. Because you know you can't be thinking of yourself alone. You can't be thinking of yourself. You can say, we have done our own meeting. If they are doing their own meeting, you can't say to themselves, no. You must see that. Because that meeting is going to bless everybody all over the world. And it's going to bless some of your people. So God will say, you put some resources there in that meeting. You have to do it. Sometimes you do it as a church. Sometimes you look at the church for some of the resources. You do it as a personally, on behalf of everybody in the church. And those who they also will stay their heart also. And sometimes, when you have it done, there's nothing. But those are commandments you must do. And it's for a season. It's not going to be forever. It's for a season. Though for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. It's not permanently. It's for a season. Season comes, and you must know when season comes, it passes, it comes and goes. You must take advantage of his seasons. There's no season. If need be, if it's a need, there is a need for it. Yeah. If need be, that you are in heaviness. Sometimes your own, what you are in, you may be in heaviness that season. And that season may not be heaviness. Through manifold temptations. Manifold, different kind. As you are coming over from one, you are entering another one. As you are coming from another one, you are entering another one. As you are coming from another one, you are entering another one. But those things are things that they are used to make you to become a newborn babe. So he called that manifold temptation that the trial of your faith. That the faith that you have used to make you to arrive in Zion or to make you to arrive as holy temple in the Lord must be tried. Because you are looking for the grace of salvation. Receive the end of your salvation, the end of your faith. So that your faith must be, that the trial of your faith be much more precious. So what you have formerly is unfeigned faith. The end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, good conscience, and unfeigned faith. So unfeigned means sincere. But can they convert sincere faith to become precious faith? That would qualify to enter most holy. But if you're going to produce your faith to become precious, you must go through manifold temptation. You must go through heaviness. Sometimes heaviness is maybe rejection. Like you can go through a lot of rejection. Sometimes manifold temptation may be despising you because you have not arrived at your time of showing. It's like people are going to go despise, you have been despised. There's a season. You must know how to use those seasons. If you allow your faith to be tried, you will turn out to be precious. That when you become precious, precious is a newborn babe. Every newborn babe is precious. Through manifold temptations, through the heats of fire that the Son of God are taking that soul through. You went through it. Sometimes, manifold temptation can be speaking evil of you. Like Peter was talking about that thing in Peter. He said, if they disparage use you, he persecute you. See, when they persecute you, make sure they're not persecuting you for wrongdoing. Make sure they are persecuting you because you did what is right. So those things are manifold temptation. Those things will bring heaviness on your soul. But in that heaviness, you are rejoicing hope that I will know who the Son is. I will know who the Father is, which is salvation and glory that's about to be revealed. But I need that manifold temptation to become a newborn. What is newborn? It's my soul. My soul must be a newborn. A newborn soul. Because until I'm newborn, they will not give me the milk of the land. The first season, I must receive the milk of the land. The milk of the land is the milk of the most holy place. Yes, sir. Milk is the breath of everlasting life. It's the breath of Almighty. Which you use to quiet a newborn baby that is crying. Yes, sir. When a newborn baby is crying, you bring out the breath and quiet the cat. So, Jesus will not bring out El Shaddai breath, which is the meek of the land, to quiet a soul. Until that soul, in your heaviness, in your under your pressure, your soul will start crying that you are becoming a newborn baby. Say, it's time for me to bring out the breath of El Shaddai. Which you need that breath before you can access the incorruptible seed. You must also feed you with the meek, the breath of El Shaddai, the breath of the Almighty. If you be reproved for the name of Christ, happy are ye. This is the name of Christ. This is the name of Christ. Paul was saying that same thing. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having his seal. The Lord knoweth those who are his. That, who is the Lord? The messenger of the covenant. You want to know who I is? And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart for iniquity. Depart for iniquity. So there's something your soul will start departing from. Start departing from it. So that season, they will start teaching you how you can depart from iniquity. You are not how to depart. Say depart. Gradual departure. Let every soul that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Those who are because I'm informing them. Nature of Christ I'm informing them. Identity of Christ I'm informing. Because name of Christ means it's identity. It's nature. It's life. You start departing. The Lord, whom you seek, everyone that name the name of the Lord, name of Christ, they will put under pressure, under that heat, to refine you. As a refiner and a purifier of silver. So, whenever you purify a silver, you reduce its weight. Yes, because dross and gross are weight on the silver. So, the taking away of impurity from silver make it to become a newborn babe. It's a mature, but by the time they take away things from it, it becomes a newborn babe. It becomes a baby. It becomes a newborn babe. That same soul that used to be a charity man, a godly man, is a man. But it went through the fire. And that fire took away gross and dross away from it. So the extraction of fire from that soul, that impurity, that impatience, that ability for you to endure more, ability for you to forbear more, that thing, which means that when you get to teach of charity, fervent charity, say, charity, endure all things. All things, is that the season of fervent? Bear at all things, believe all things, open all things, endure all things. Shall it never fail? Whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether they be tongue, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So when a soul is like this, that soul is ready. That process is what gives birth to a soul. It's a first birth through fire. It's a first birth through fire. The fire of the Son of God. The fire of the Lord, the fire of the King in Holy Hill of Zion, the fire of the living God that came into the sanctuary, the fire of the Lord of glory that came to the sanctuary to come and keep appointment to every soul that Holy Ghost has raised as holy temple in the Lord so that they can become a newborn. That the fire of your faith be much more precious so your faith becomes precious. That is, when you go through that process of that fire, in that sanctuary, you become precious. And that precious also means something. You can't move into most holy faith if your faith are not precious. So the process of faith, that faith, they give to faith, faith become unfeigned, from unfeigned into precious faith and become most holy faith. You develop that faith both with understanding, with knowledge, and with substance. It's the more they substantiate my faith. Say that thought.
It's the more they substantiate my
faith. Because faith is the substance of things, hope for. The evidence of it, not seen. The more they are substantiating my faith, what's substantiating my faith? The more they add my faith. You substantiate faith by adding things to the faith. Faith is the substance of things, hope for. So faith is the substance of things. You can make faith to become more from faith can become unfeigned. What make unfeigned faith? When you add good conscience to faith. When you hold the mystery of faith with pure conscience, that faith become unfeigned faith. But when you take away good conscience from faith, you shipwreck the faith. Instead of making the faith to become unfeigned. If I have good conscience, I judge my conscience, I allow my conscience to be terrorized. I allow my conscience to be submitted. I'm not just obeying God. But when I obey God, I'm checking the intent, the motives of my heart. Why am I doing this? When I'm doing that, I'm not just obeying God. I'm watching my faith and I'm being diligent to do things on my heart. Something will happen to all my faith. My faith become all unfeigned. And from unfeigned faith, by the time I do charity the more, charity we all, we substantiate my faith better. Because faith is not out of things. Oh, for it will add things to my faith. Then, by the time I arrive as a godly man, by the time fire substantiates my faith more. Because I was saying in the book of Luke, for everything shall be sorted with fire. So when they substantiate or they sorted my faith, everyone shall be sorted with fire. So when they sort my faith with fire, my faith moved from unfeigned to become precious. Because fire is a substance. Or fire carry within itself some substances. So, fire has substances on this inside that will sort my faith. Will sort my faith with fire. So, my faith from being unfaithful become precious. I'm precious in the sight of the Lord. Then, the Lord will give permission for me to access most holy. Because I'm not a newborn baby. So, when they sort out my faith, I become a newborn baby in my soul. Then, the Lord will take me up and move me. He will take me up and move me. So yeah, he will move me and start feeding me with sincere milk of the word. Sincere milk. As newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the word. It's not the word. The word as is milk. Sincere milk. That you may grow thereby. So I will start growing now. So it is this newborn babe that are ready for the revelation of who the Son is. It's this newborn babe that are ready for what? Revelation, of who the Son is. So, when Paul in Galatians 1, verse 10, for do I not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be servant of Christ. So, this time around, Paul was already a servant of Christ. What's the servant of Christ? He that hath walked. What's the servant of Christ? Who have pleased Christ. Amen. I'm serving Christ. You find servant of Christ in Romans 6. You also find it in Romans 14. So the servant of Christ is who is serving righteousness and peace. Servant of Christ. Want to go?
For the kingdom of God has come in thy for righteousness and peace and joy
say in the Holy Ghost. So here is the learning that Holy Ghost taught you. Yeah. We battle with Holy Ghost and fire. In the Holy Ghost. What happened? I want to go? For he that in this thing serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. That's how you serve Christ. So you become a servant of Christ. You serve Christ by serving righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. What Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, taught you to become a servant of Christ. And whatsoever you do, do it actively as unto the law and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You can see that you serve Christ righteousness through Holy Ghost. You can't serve Christ. It's Holy Ghost that have the document of serving Christ. And servant of God, the person that have this document of serving this God is the Son of God. So you need revelation. You need the Son to reveal to you to serve God. You need to know who the Son is to serve God. So the revelation of who the Son of God is the beginning of manual, what you're going to use to serve God. And the revelation of who the Father is the last manual you need to perfect the service of God. That's why acknowledging the Father and the Son is acknowledging the manner of service to start serving God by the Son. Then you perfect your service by who the Father is. But you can't move into serving God. The Son will not open the document of service to you until you have gone through the baptism of fire. Baptism of fire. You need baptism of fire to reduce you to become a newborn babe. That it can give you, first the word, sincere meek of the world. Sincere meek of the world is to grow you ready for the word. Or for you to have access to what they call incorruptible seed of the word of God. But before you have access to the word of God, you must grow by the meek, sincere meek. For do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. So by this time, Paul was already a servant of Christ. But I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conscience in time past in Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in Jewish religion above many of my equal in my own nation, being much more exceedingly zealous of the treasure of my father. But when he pleased God, so the revelation of Jesus Christ is this. Look at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Start from when you say man, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at how it began from. But when he pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace. What grace? God. This is not the grace of Christ. Please God. God called by his grace. 1 Peter 2:16. To reveal his son in me. So the revelation of Jesus Christ begins by revealing the son. By revealing who the son is. And the climax of the revelation of Jesus Christ by revealing who the father is. Those are the two things in the revelation of Jesus Christ. To reveal his son in me and climax it in revealing who the father is. When he pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. And call me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach in among the heathen. Immediately I confound not with flesh and blood. Verse 17. Neither went I to Jerusalem to them which are afar from me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode within 15 days. But other apostles saw I not, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write on tribute before God, I lie not. So you can see that the revelation of Jesus Christ starts by revealing the Son in me. So when you talk about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it starts by revealing the Son and clamors it by knowing who the Father is. So you reveal the Son in me. Who the Son? To reveal the Son in me. Who the Son is in me. But this revelation of who the Son is, it will only be revealed to newborn babes. Because for he pleased thee to be revealed to for the babe, that look. At that time, Joker answered, "Oh Father, Lord of heaven, because I have eaten this thing from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babe. For it seems so good, all these are given to me, or my Father, and no man knew the Son. No man knew the Son, but the Father. Not that I know any man, the Father, save the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him." Who the Son will reveal. So the revelation is what is who the Son reveal. He said, even so, Father, is so it seems good in thy sight. Even so, who it seems so good in thy sight. By the time you get to God's revelation, for when he pleased God, or when he seemed good in God's sight, to reveal his Son in him. But when he pleased God, or when he seems so good in your sight, and come back to reveal his Son in me. Reveal his Son in me so that I can preach him. So, the beginning of revelation of Jesus Christ is the Son. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the sonship of Jesus Christ. Who the Son is. Then, you move into who the Father is. All these things is in the Son. Because he has pleased Father that he should give him all things to his Son. For no one knows the Father except the Son. And no one knows the Son except the Father. But the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. So the Son has capacity to reveal both. In the definition of Jesus Christ, is who the Son is and what who the Father is. So revelation is called understanding. So let us see how John put it in 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come And have given us what? An understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. So you can see that who is true is in His Son, even His Son, Jesus Christ. So that understanding, has given an understanding, is that He has come to reveal. Because another word for revelation is an understanding. In Ephesians chapter 1, we grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. In Colossians, grant unto you to be filled with the knowledge of His spirit in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So spiritual understanding is revelation. So here, the Son of God is come. Why did the Son of God come? It's to give understanding or to give the revelation. To give understanding. To give revelation. And by revelation, by understanding, that we may know. For no man know who the Son is. He give an understanding. So He will give you an understanding. He will keep giving you an understanding. But that understanding will open to two things. That you may know Him. That we may know Him. That we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. So the understanding will move to knowing Him. Say Him.
Him.
Is Him. But you don't move into knowing Him. You start with the Word. Word does not know Him when you are in Word level. But before you can know Him, you need to move into blood before you know Him. Because it's in the law you know Him, not in the Son of the Word. It's in the time of the law. In the covenant will make you, or in the time of covenant is when you start knowing Him. When you are eating the flesh and the blood, the flesh and the blood is the gift of an understanding. How they deliver an understanding to you, what you are going to use to know, is in the flesh and the water. So the flesh and the water is what we develop an understanding. So that if you don't partake of flesh and water, you will not develop capacity of an understanding. An understanding. So flesh and water is what we develop in me. An understanding. For the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. What is that understanding? What is understanding? Flesh and water. Bread and water. Or word. Which is light and understanding. The entrance of His word. Give a light. Say the entrance of His word. Give a light and understanding. The Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. So understanding is light and understanding. Or bread and water. Remember, John Christ met this guy on the way to Emmaus. They bid him come. He took bread and break it. I say, and their understanding were open. So when they broke, he imparted understanding to them to know who He was. So bread and water is the gift of understanding. So if you don't eat His bread, if you don't take His flesh, you won't develop an understanding. So that you can be ready to know. You need understanding to know Him that is true. Knowing Him that is true is the sin of covenants. I will write my law in their heart. I will put it in their mind. No one will test neighbor. Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. So the season of knowing is therefore the season of impartation of understanding. Season of impartation of understanding is the season of giving bread and water. And the season of knowing Him that is true is the season of giving you the law, which is the covenant, which is the testimony, which is the blood. Another word to give an understanding in Hebrew chapter 10. He called, my ear are thy open. They will give you ear. Or a body are prepare me. They prepare a body for you. Or they will give you an open face. They are talking about the same thing. Or they will give to you an heart of flesh. So you need an heart of flesh, which is an understanding for you to be able to move into knowing Him. You can't know Him. You will just be having knowledge without partaking of flesh. So flesh and water is what develop an understanding. You grow an understanding by particular flesh. So, to grow understanding, you have commandment you must keep. That bread and water as commandments. You do the commandment, then they will grow an understanding in you. Because a man of understanding increases strength. So, when you have understanding, you increase strength. Strength of knowing, strength of judgment to know Him. So, we need bread and water to develop understanding so that we can now move into the season of the law or spirits. Under spirit, we move with law. Law, from law, testimony. Testimony to prophecy. Those are the three realms, which are the three levels of the wheel. So you move in that thing. Knowing is in different level. Knowing as a fellow servant, knowing Him as a brethren, the prophet, and knowing Him. For the Lord will not do anything except He reveals His secret to His prophets. knowing as brethren the prophets, and knowing him as the begotten of the Father. As the brethren begotten. Because you can be a brethren beloved, but you're not the brethren the begotten. Those are the begotten. Those are the ones that are going to born them from the womb of that woman. They are the begotten. The brethren the begotten. The brethren the prophets. For you to be brethren the begotten, you must have moved. These are provisions that are of knowing him. So you need to know him three ways. You know him as first level, as a servant. Then you know him as a brethren, the prophet. Then you know him as brethren, the begotten. The begotten. But you cannot move into the world of knowing him that is true until you have eaten flesh and water and do the commandments so that you can develop an understanding. That bread and water, they will sum up into an understanding in you. Their totality of bread and water is that it will develop in you an understanding, a judgment. That you're able to know the Lord. When you move into the scene of law or spirit, when you're learning his law, his covenant, his testimony, his prophet, you're going to be moving into knowing. And we know that those who move into that place are fathers. I like to be father because you are knowing you that's from the beginning. Those who are, they have arrived are knowing. But young men are in the world of the world. I write unto you, little children, because you have sinned and forgive you for his name's sake. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God, which is bread and water, abide in you. And I have sinned unto you, father, because you are knowing you that's from the beginning. But he that's writing to the father is higher in knowing than the fathers. He know what the father does not know. The father has arrived at the knowing, but they need to move at what he knows. Because in word of knowing, there are levels. So he is a more knower of God, of the beginning, than the fathers. Then he said, I write to you, little children, because you have known the father. So when you read from 1 John chapter 3, 4, 5 is the word of knowing. The 1 John chapter 1 to 2 and our part of 3 is the word, the word of life. When you get to 1 John 2, the word that has been commanded in the world is the realm of the word. The word. Until chapter 3, part of the word. You're in the word. From mid of 3, they move into the world of knowing. Because why? They receive through the word another name for an understanding. They call it in 1 John chapter 2, an holy unction. Anointing, an holy unction. And you have known him. So another word for an understanding is the anointing, an unction from the Holy One. It's an understanding of the Holy One. That so what you use an anointing is to know him. And know him. It's for knowing him. But you can't develop that thing. You can't develop an holy unction without bread and water. They are the ones that are going to consider as holy unction. The brooding. Why do you call it anointing unction? Because you are meeting with his anointed. His king on the holy year of Zion. What I'm going to give to you will be an anointing to your soul. Father Lord, we thank you for you have blessed us today greatly. We are a blessed people. We have enriched us so much. We have been blessed again and again. We receive mercy tonight, Lord. Glory to your name, Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.